A special thanks to Blaine Browning for the jingle, and welcome to Harbor Westlake Goes Back to the Future. Today's guest is a leader in the water polo world. With experience at the high school, club, collegiate, and international level, both as a player and coach, he has a wealth of knowledge. His success began early. He was the youngest member of the U.S. national team, traveled internationally, and won 4 national championships. He, as a club player, was named All-American 4 times, helped his team capture the U-17 national championships, and won tournament MVP. At Harvard Westlake, he was named Daily News Player of the Year. His success continued as he helped lead his team at UCLA and LMU, both as a player and later as a coach. Once he began coaching at Harvard Westlake, he was able to elevate the team. According to the USA Water Polo's website, in just 3 years, Coach Flax was quickly restored the Harvard Westlake program to elite status. His team was well known for their drive and commitment, as they are today, and he has been named a CIF Coach of the Year and has built a model for success that many club and high school programs in any sport strive to emulate. Welcome to the program, Coach Flax.
Oh, thank you for having me, Rachel, and thank you for the very sweet introduction.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. Where'd you grow up?
So I actually grew up down the street in Encino. I grew up there until I was about 11 years old, and when I was 11, we moved out. So the end of fifth grade, I moved to Calabasas. And from there, I went to A.E. Wright Middle School for 1 year, and then I applied to Harvard Westlake and came here for seventh grade. But I grew up kind of in Calabasas the rest of my life.
And then what was your elementary school like?
Okay, so I actually grew up or went to middle school or elementary school at a very small public school right in between both Harvard-Westlake campuses called Roscommon Road Elementary School. So really, really tiny, tiny school. Is that the mic that – are you hearing that?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if that's a problem. Sorry about that, guys.
You have to do off, which is the worst part.
And so I went to a small public school, K-5, on Roscommon Road, then again went to A.E. Wright for sixth grade.
And then, so then you went to Harvard Westlake.
Correct.
And at what point in that process did you start playing water polo?
Yeah, so the process, it was kind of funny. So my first grade teacher at Roscommon Road Elementary had a son that went to Harvard Westlake. And so I was about 7 years old, and she told me they were forming a club program at the Zanuck Pool at Harvard Westlake High School, which is the former pool to the Coptis Family Pool that we have now. And she encouraged me to go to practice, and I started playing when I was 7 years old. And didn't really look back.
And then just water polo wasn't that big of a sport back then, I assume?
It wasn't. It was kind of the new club world in most sports was just kind of starting back then as well. And it was something that I just took a really big liking to. We had a really good young team that kind of stuck together from 10s all the way to 18 and unders. And I got really, really lucky that I just kind of fell in love with the sport.
Okay, and then you went to Harvard Westlake. So why come to Harvard Westlake?
So it was kind of always a dream. I actually kind of remember the day. I mean, I grew up playing at the Harvard Westlake pool, and my high school coach was also my age group coach. So I kind of grew up in his system. I took a liking to a lot of the older boys that were at Harvard Westlake at the time, and it seemed like a really good fit, a really good place for me. My older sister also attended, so I have a sister that's a year older who applied a little bit before I did, and she came here, so it worked out really well.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's great.
And since you played water polo then, do you feel like you've had like a major shift from then and now just in the water polo world?
A major shift. I don't play at all anymore. So I don't even get in the pool. The boys joke with me all the time because I probably have been in the pool once or twice since they rebuilt it 6 years ago. I kind of stay away from that. I really appreciate coaching and I really enjoy standing on the deck. But no longer getting in the pool. In terms of being in the community, I really enjoy being in the water polo community. It's small. Everyone's really close, and it's been really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, it's nice because it sounds like even at the beginning, it was this like small, tight-knit community.
Yeah, I seem to find things fell into place at the right time for me, and I kind of got in right when it started and kind of seen water polo and club water polo and high school water polo evolve over the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, especially just high school. Like, how has Harvard Westlake changed as a whole?
Harvard Westlake, So I think I told you this before. I cheated a little bit. So I got to hear Adam Howard's response on the first ever podcast. So, I think the first, well, there are a few different avenues. I think one, the facilities are completely different. I mean, they redid the middle school, I think 10, 12 years ago. So I went here, before that with the old middle school, which looked completely different. And at the upper school, we have a whole bunch of new facilities. The one that I spend the most time at is the pool, and that's brand new. So the facilities have been completely redone, especially the middle school. The biggest difference that I think I notice at Harvard Westlake now are generally the specialization from the kids that come in. I when I first started at Harvard Westlake 7 years ago, we had 15 kids come out the very first day to try out water polo that had never played before. And I think I'm lucky now in the ninth grade to get one kid that has never played water polo that just wants to try it. And I think that's really due to kids at a younger age playing sports or in the arts or specializing in something at a much, much younger age. And we don't necessarily have kids that are trying a whole bunch of different things in the sixth, seventh, eighth grade. And that's been the biggest change I think that I've noticed at the school.
Do you think that's good or bad? Because it might help your water polo team because, like, now you're getting these players that played since first grade, but also you're not getting this, like, kind of new blood. So does it help or hurt?
Yeah, I'm not sure I can answer that. I think it has in some ways been an amazing thing in terms of the growth and of some of the athletes, but at the same time the increase in injury because kids are playing and playing so much at a young age. You know, I think at Harvard Westlake, it can be a little bit of a negative just because there are so many wonderful resources and things and things that the school has to offer. I would really encourage anyone that goes to school here to try out something new because there are so many just wonderful different departments here that I think people might find their niche in.
So while you were at Harvard Westlake, did you try anything new or cool? Like, what experience did you have at Harvard Westlake do you feel like really helped you later on in life?
Oh, wow. I mean, everything. I mean, first of all, I wish I was a better student when I was here. Not that I was a bad student, but I wish I was a better student here. And the academics are really second to none. I went to an amazing university. I went to graduate school at a great graduate school as well. But I didn't realize how well prepared I was going to really be for college until I ended up, you know, it was just so much easier for me. And I felt so much more prepared than a lot of the other student athletes that were there, but a lot of just the students that were there. You don't really realize how lucky you are being here and how well the teachers prepare you for the next step. So I didn't do much other than playing water polo. I did swim when I was in high school as well. My mom, oddly enough, was the swim coach when I was in high school, which is kind of funny. So I swam for my mom and then played water polo. So I wish I took more advantage of the things that were here when I was here. And I can tell you that it's something that I try to make sure that I tell the kids that I coach every day.
And so when you left Harvard, like even when you were at Harvard West, like did you know what you wanted to be in the future? Any real plans?
No, heck no. So I started coaching when I was 18. I actually helped out after my senior season. We play in the fall, so I started helping out in the winter and the spring with the club program that was here. And I knew I loved coaching, but I knew also I wanted to live in LA. I wanted to have a family. And there are only so many places that you can kind of afford to do that. And I didn't necessarily think coaching water polo was going to be something that was sustainable for the rest of my life. So I think I prolonged the process to kind of decide what I wanted to do as long as I could. So I went to UCLA for 4 years, and then I went to Loyola Marymount, and I started getting my master's in education. And it ended up working out great, but I think if I was really honest with myself at the time, I didn't really know. I just felt like the right thing to do was go back to graduate school. I'm not sure that I knew that I wanted to get into coaching and teaching, but it ended up working out really nicely for me. I thought for a while I was going to do commercial real estate. I had actually had accepted a position, and at the right time, right place, Harvard Westlake opened their water polo position. And I was 22 years old. I was really lucky that they took a chance on me when I was young. And I just feel blessed and really lucky to have fallen here.
Yeah. Wait, so why did you come back to Harbor Westlake? Like, was there a sudden pull to water polo? Why water polo again in your life?
Yeah, so I mean, I knew I wanted to coach if there was an opportunity, and this is one of those very few places where you can have that family and live in LA and work with the types of student athletes that are ambitious and hardworking, and there aren't many better places in the world to work than this one. I knew that that combined with like my passion for coaching and passion for the sport, this was the perfect place kind of for me.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's cool. It worked out well.
That's exactly what you want. So you kind of talked about your transition to college already, not to jump back a bit, mm-hmm. but we're going to.
Yeah, no.
So what was the transition like sports-wise?
Oh, that was a huge jump, and not something I know that anyone – I mean, it's similar to how it is for, you know, a 14-year-old freshman in high school competing with an 18-year-old in high school. It was a huge jump in my career, and I think, you know, at the time, athletics here has changed a lot. We have a brand new weight room and weight coaches, and we didn't have all of that before. So that was kind of a new step for me, the weight program, and I think I graduated here at 175 pounds. I think I was only one of three guys that was under 200 pounds on the UCLA roster. You know, to gain the type of weight that I need to be living on your own, to be responsible for yourself, all of those things. It was a major jump, and one that I thought, you know, obviously academically I was really prepared for, but I think athletically it was a tough jump for me. Our team was good here, but a jump to make to one of the top four universities in water polo at least was a difficult one, and it took a lot of time. I ended up redshirting my first year, and I only played at UCLA for 2.5 years. And one of my biggest regrets is actually not seeing through my career there, and something that I try to talk about to all my athletes now. But I did really enjoy my experiences there. I had wonderful coaches and an awesome education. So
what do you think was kind of like essential to that shift from not being able to like keep afloat to yeah. being able to really enjoy at the end?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is I had great coaches. I had great teammates. It was our own little frat that I got to experience. I mean, you go to UCLA, and I don't know the exact number of undergrads that they have, but tens of thousands. So you come to a school where you have 12 kids in a class, and it would be unusual for me to sit in a class at UCLA with a class under 300 people. So you would often I it's funny, whenever I talk to any of my friends that go to smaller schools, it would be unusual if we were walking down UCLA's campus to even see one other person I knew. And that was a very different experience than Harvard Westlake. And one of the nice things about being a part of the water polo program is it kind of made the school feel small. You had your own group of friends, and we lived together. You had built-in friends from the beginning. I grew up playing against most of them, so I knew a lot of them before I got there. And then we ended up living together for, you know, the 4 years that I was there. So it made it really enjoyable.
So yeah, then again, water polo being a small community, mm-hmm. comes back to help you.
Exactly.
And then you feel like still today it's a small community, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, water polo is really limited to the state of California in terms of the level. It has grown a ton in states like Texas and Florida and back east. And I know that that's ever increasing, but you know, we're kind of in the hotbed of water polo here in Southern California for a lot of different reasons. We're close to the coast, so I think a lot of kids grew up swimming, and it's also cheaper than having an indoor facility that you may need back east. So it is really nice. I think that it allows me to grow professionally and to be around other great coaches and people, because we kind of are here where you need to be for, you know, the top level water polo.
Oh, yeah. So just being about, like, that was such a great place for water polo, you kind of made Harvard West like a great hotspot itself for water polo. How'd you do it?
I think it needs to be really clear. I was blessed to get some really great athletes. I mean, once-in-a-generation athletes, particularly early in my career. Kids like Johnny Hooper and Ben Halleck and Anthony Ridgely, those kids can come around once in a generation, and they kind of came at the same time. I when I started coaching, I coached a 10 and under team, and we always joked it was the best 10 and under team of all time because it was the Johnny Hoopers, the Ben Hallecks, the Anthony Ridgelys, the Morio Saitos, and they all played for me. And one of the cool things about my journey to Harvard Westlake was I coached them at 10, and I coached them all the way through 14s. And when they were 14s, they start to move on to high school. And that was the same year that we won the 14 international championship. Was the same year I got hired at Harvard Westlake. So I got to see them out from 10 and under water polo till they're 18, which was such an amazing experience to see those kids and those families and be a part of their lives grow and then see them obviously go on to college. But get to coach them for those 8 years was a pretty special experience. And so I think I was lucky in a lot of ways that I got to coach those kids and kind of grow with those kids. And they all ended up here. But I think there's another element too of the school recruits itself. Like who doesn't want to come to Harvard Westlake? What a great institution. I think the best institution and what an amazing place for you to get what you want. You get the best of both worlds. You get high level, top notch teachers and academics, and you get I think and hope we offer unbelievable resources to allow these athletes to develop as great water polo players. So I think a lot of it was the perfect storm in a lot of ways, but it's been a really, really fun journey so far.
And then so you also coach the club team at Harvard Westlake here, right?
Yeah, so the club is separate, but one of the first things that I did when I came was kind of realize that we may need to change our model a little bit. So I used to coach for what they would call like a super club, which was a model where, and this is the model that you most often see in club water polo, where a whole bunch of top level high school players come together and they play together and they train and play together. When I came, once the pool was built, we had the opportunity, a lot of it because of the talented players that we had as well, to form our own club program that allowed just for Harvard Westlake athletes to train consistently throughout the year together. And it was really beneficial for a lot of ways, or a lot of reasons, I should say. One, just the consistency of training. Obviously, that's an easy one where they get to train together and practice the same tactics and skills that we would implement in our season. But I think the big thing that we've seen is the ability to be successful in the classroom and in the pool. We work our club schedule now around the Harvard Westlake academic calendar. So, for example, during finals week, our athletes have the week off, which allows them to study and do well and be focused and work hard in the classroom. But it also allows them to be successful in the pool too. And so we don't have them on the pool deck from 7 to 9 p.m. at night, which they may have to be at a different club. But we get to have them together, working hard, training year-round, and hopefully, again, working that schedule so that they can do more things than just be successful in the water.
And since this is the Harvard Westlake team, do you feel like there's a major difference between how you coach during season and out of season?
Oh, totally. I think that the approach has to be different, and if you've ever seen me on the pool deck, I think probably the word that comes to mind is intense, and I think that working with the kids for 11 months out of the year can be really beneficial, but it can be tough too, because that same voice, the same intensity all the time, I think can really wear people down, and so I think some of my growth over my career is realizing that I can't always approach it the same in January as I do in November, because that kind of wears the kids down. So I think, the big emphasis that we have in the off season is development and individual development. And then kind of as we progress, things get a little bit more focused on the team, and the team tactics and the team goals. And then we kind of, fall into a competition phase, which is our season where, we're really focused on trying to be as successful as we can as a unit. So, totally have to change kind of my mentality throughout the year.
And so when you first came to Harvard Westlake, and yeah, you're kind of enough being a lively, like you'll get out there, you'll have fun with the boys. So when you first came to Harvard Westlake, would you say you were the same, or did you have some weird like time when you needed the kids to kind of trust you a little bit?
I hope that I'm not the same, because that wouldn't be good. And it's funny, I actually keep logs of all my practice plans for over the years, and I think at least my practice structures and those things have changed. But I think Harvard Westlake kids are really special kids. They're really smart. They're really ambitious, and they want to compete. They want to be really successful. And so earning their buy-in, earning their trust is really, really simple. It's showing them that you're willing to work as hard as they are, that you're willing to put in the time and energy necessary and show that you believe in them as much as kind of they are trusting in you. And I think that that takes time. And so I don't think you can necessarily have that your first year. And so I think that's taken a lot of time and energy on both sides for us to kind of develop those relationships that we needed to be successful.
I do have to say, everyone I know who plays water polo is always like, it's so much hard work. I'm out there every day. Like, but they all love it.
Yeah.
It's something about it just really inspires all of them.
Yeah, I've heard it be called a cult, which is pretty funny. And it, in some ways it is. It's kind of funny. But I think that what you kind of learn is that it is a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of time, and it's a lot of energy. But you can easily justify that with the relationships that you get to make and the people that you get to know, and doing something that you really love at the level that we're doing it with your best friends, I think can be a really, really special experience that, and a bond that never really goes away. I mean, I think my favorite times now are when, you know, two or three of my athletes that have graduated here come back together and they're still friends, or they're talking on the phone, or they send me pictures when they run into each other at a tournament, or they're on the same campus, or and what a cool experience that they get to have. You know, in a lot of the ways that I have the same bonds with the kids that I went to school with, they have those same bonds that with each other, which is pretty cool.
Wow, water polo is such a great place. If I get one thing out of this interview, it's just how small of a community it is.
It's funny, yeah. It is.
So if you want to succeed in water polo and have these bonds for the rest of your life, what trait do you think is really important?
You got to be willing to work hard. I think that if there's a kind of the definition of our program, we have a lot of kids and a lot of people that want to work really, really hard. And that's kind of the way the sport works just in general. No one is in water polo to make money or to, you know, become famous, or it really is a blue collar sport. And I think you have to be willing to put in the time and the energy and work hard. But we just spend so many hours with each other. I kind of tell the parents when they sign up for this in the ninth grade and we have our preseason barbecue, when they're starting this journey, they're probably going to spend just as much time with me on that, in that pool or on that deck or at that tournament, than they're going to spend with their families. And we really, I feel like, have that bond, and I think it's really special. And I know they have that with each other too. So it's cool.
Okay, this is actually just a personal question of mine. Shoot. I've always wondered it. Why do the water polo boys wear suits on the first day of school? Or the first, like, when we all meet up together?
You know, it really started as a funny tradition. It's funny that you bring that up. It started as a funny tradition where what we would do is, and this is kind of mean, but this is what we did, you know, 10, 15 years ago, where when you got into school, if you were a new ninth grader, so let's just say you just got into school, we told them that the rule was, if you're a new student in Harvard West, like, you had to wear a suit on the first day. So there was always the new kid that came to school who had no friends and thought they were supposed to wear a suit. So they would wear a suit the first day of school. And it was kind of the funny ha-ha joke. And, I think some people took it really well and some people didn't. And it's kind of turned into, a much cooler tradition, which is, if you're in the water polo program the first day, we all together wear a suit. And I think they look great. I think the teachers appreciate it. I definitely appreciate it. I know they spend a lot of time talking and thinking about the different types of suits and the things that they want to do, but I think it's kind of a cool thing that we do.
Yeah, it's super fun. First guy was probably wore a suit all alone. Everyone's like, wow, that guy looks really cool, and then just caught him from there. Just speaking from your own, what would you recommend for someone who's currently in high school that wants to be a coach later on?
Ooh, wow. You know, I think that on a bigger thing than that, that I can recommend was, this is something that I didn't think I was going to do. It was something that I absolutely loved, but for other reasons, I didn't think I was going to be able to do. And what I would tell them is that there's always an avenue, there's always a route for you to find something that you're really passionate about and to pursue. And kind of, you know, as cliche as it is, don't give up on that dream, because I don't ever wake up thinking I'm going to work. I don't think the long hours that I do, or the summers, or I don't ever think that I'm going to work or view it like that. This is what I want to be doing. There's nothing more that I enjoy in my day than being on that pool deck with the kids. There's just nothing even close to it. So more than the coaching thing is just find something that you love. Most importantly, don't worry about the money or the fame or whatever it may be. All that stuff is a byproduct of you just finding something that you're absolutely going to love and enjoy doing, and that kind of, like, you know, reminds you why you wake up every morning and the kind of the joy you have in your life. So that's what I would recommend to anyone at Harbor West, like, I think.
So why do you love coaching? Why does it excite you every morning?
Ooh, okay, so I get this question all the time, and I don't know if it's super easy to answer, but I think, one, the family aspect of it. I love, you know, the relationships with everyone. I love feeling a part of something. I love feeling a part of something with a group of friends. I think that was one of the most special things that I was given with water polo, was being a part of a team sport, is something that is really, 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 really special. Second, I think I'm really competitive. I think I needed to find something in my life that was going to allow me to compete at some level. And that was it. I think that the last is, like, I just have a passion for the sport. I just really enjoy the chess match that is water polo. I like different aspects of water polo that we don't need to talk about. They're just longer and drawn out. But I just really have a passion for the sport itself, and that combined with all of the other things, I think, was part of the reason. I also think that I wasn't as talented at, and this kind of is the competitive piece, I wasn't as talented at water polo. I'm like a 6 foot tall right hand. I'm like everyone. I'm no different. And I think that in coaching, the one thing that you don't have this genetic thing that you have to have. Where I can only top out as a certain height or a certain something, and that's it. I think that the ability to want to compete on the coaching level is something that's, kind of leveled the playing field for me a little bit, which I really enjoy, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So when someone, as a coach, when someone, like, is maybe not as skillful as someone else, but they want to get the same playing time, how do you really balance just skill and playing time overall?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the same way that, you know, it's the same way you do it in math class. If you go to math class, there's some people that could do no homework, could barely pay attention in lecture, and get all A's in math. They get it. And that goes for any subject. And there's the kid that has to study, meet with their teacher, do all their homework, and they just barely get by. It just doesn't come naturally. And I think that's just kind of an important thing for anyone to learn when they're growing up, is that, you know, not everyone is the same. And everyone's going to have their different strengths and weaknesses. But you can combat, no matter what happens, you can combat all the talent in the world with someone that is going to be a relentless hard worker, someone that is going to put in the time and do all of those extra little things to put them in a position to be more successful. So to combat the skill, I think that you have to have that. If you're not going to have that aspect of being as talented, you need to do more. And I think that's the only way really to beat it.
And so just what trait for yourself has, you think, been beneficial for your success?
Ooh, I think, and this is a trait that I think I got from my, you know, my parents and my grandparents, but I think, like, just working hard. I am one of those people that, people in the office would probably call me a grinder. I don't ever feel like I'm grinding. It doesn't feel like that to me, because I'm really enjoying what I do. But I think that if you had to ask the kids, how they would define me in little words, I think that one of them would just be like hard work. I think I work pretty hard on a daily basis. And that's kind of helped, I think made me successful in at least so far in my career.
So where do you think you learned to, like, work hard, like put in the hours? Do you think water polo was helpful to that, or just?
Oh, heck yeah. I think water polo, I think I grew up with some amazing coaches. I think water polo, like, by nature, is one of those sports that you just can't really do unless you want to, again, because when you play a sport in the water, swimming or water polo or whatever it may be, it's not as tough on your joints. So whereas you could play maybe an hour and a half or 2 hours of basketball before you really start to wear down physically, you can be in the water for 4 or 5 hours before there's a real issue of overuse or joint damage. And so just that, by that nature alone, you end up being in the pool and putting way more hours in, I think, than most sports would. So I think water polo, but I think too, just watching my parents as I grew up, they worked really hard. My grandparents worked really hard, and it's just been something that I've kind of mimicked. And again, I can't overstate the fact that I just love what I do. So it doesn't feel like hard work to me. And I think, you know, if there's one thing I could tell everyone, is like, just find that thing that doesn't feel like hard work that you just really enjoy doing.
You're saying water sports aren't as hard as your joint, but I do have to say this. In no other sport have I ever seen are you, like, fighting for your life most of the game.
It is true. It is true. It is by no means easy, and that's why I don't play anymore. So that's why I stand up there and yell at the kids to play harder. But I can't do that anymore. They you know, that's, I'm going to leave that for them. But it is by no means easy.
Yeah. I've seen a game. It doesn't look like it. So for the people who are very passionate about water polo, want to put in the work and want to play in college, do you have any specific advice? Like, do you say go to these club meets where the coaches are going to be, stuff like that?
I think Harvard Westlake really offers now, where we kind of stand, opportunities at tournaments and at practices and things like that. And we've kind of built a name and such that you're getting plenty of exposure. I think, I don't know, maybe actually one of the cool things that we do now, even at Harvard Westlake, is HWTV. And in 2014, we played Modern Day, which was the team we kind of had a rivalry with the past few years. And they'd been Division I champions forever. And then we beat them in 2013. And then we played them again in 2014. And we hosted a game here. And it was kind of this big rematch, and we were the number one and number two team, and they put it on live stream. And we had 15,000 people watch the live stream. And kind of in comparison, and don't quote me on this, but these are the numbers that I heard, that UCLA played USC in the national championship game that year in NCAA championships, and they had 5,000 people watch the game. So for a high school water polo match here on campus, we had 15,000 people tune in and listen and watch. And so those, you know, the school does such a great job with the other resources too to get everyone here such great exposure to the outside world. I mean, I can't tell you how many times after a game I'll get a text from the Harvard University coach or Princeton or, you know, and say, wow, what a great game, or that was awesome, or your live stream is so great. And it's just kind of cool thing to think that those coaches are tuning in to watch your team play. And what a great experience for our kids to kind of have that opportunity. So we get plenty of opportunities throughout the year to have exposure to do things that are allowing the kids, if they're going to put in the work, to get seen by the right people, to hopefully get them the opportunity to play at the next level.
Yes. Probably a little different from when you recruited.
a little different, but we were good back then too. And so one of the great joys that I take is, you know, having the program back to what I feel like is as competitive as it was, you know, and what, you know, the kind of the joy it brought me. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yeah, thank
you. Well, thank you for talking to us. It's been amazing.
Of course, that was easy.
That's nice. That's how it's supposed to feel. We usually end the podcast by talking about one song that really sums up your high school experience.
Ooh, sums up. So yeah. That was different than I thought the question was going to be.
Boy.
I thought it was going to be like my what the high school,
no,
what it remember
it brings
reminded
back
me
an experience.
Of.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
so I was I liked Jack Johnson growing up. So my first ever concert was at UCLA when I was in high school, and it was a Jack Johnson concert. And I think my favorite Jack Johnson song is Better Together. So that's, if I had to go with one, I think I'd probably go with Better Together by Jack Johnson. So
that's perfect.
That's what I got.
Thank you so much for being on the program.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
This was amazing.
Good.
Okay, that's it.
I'll tell you one thing, it's always better when we're together. It's always better when we're together. Yeah, we'll look at them stars and we'll